And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Remember, this was a couple of months ago when the head of the United Auto Workers, Sean Fain, was talking about the fact that they are endorsing Biden, and he realizes that most auto workers don't.
Yeah, he said a great number
right
of our members will be voting for the other guy.
And it was really fascinating. And we talked about it at that time when they were trying to get a contract done. And he did get a contract done with record money. And we said, you have to understand what's going on here with the private sector big unions in this country, especially things like the auto workers. And that's the fact that, and the same here for the VW plant that just passed it. We'll get to the specifics of it. And we said it. The government is telling unions and companies, we will give you tons of taxpayer dollars
right
to produce electric vehicles that can't make a profit, but it will keep people working. We also know that fewer people are needed to build electric vehicles, so the UAW is signing their own death warrant by agreeing with the government on this because it's not going to work.
Right.
Same thing happening in the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga. There it is, the headline, Wall Street Journal. They're on the same tack that we're on. The UAW wins one for the subsidies in Chattanooga. Congrats to the UAW union for its first organizing victory at a southern plant, and good luck to the workers who made the choice. They'll need it if the UAW history is a guide. We doubt the union could have done it without the help of government subsidies and threats. The UAW won an election at Volkswagen Chattanooga Friday, and it wasn't close. 73% of the votes were cast in favor of joining, and 84% of the plant's 4,300 production workers voted. The UAW lost elections at that same plant in 2014 and in 2019, along with the pair of losses at Nissan's Tennessee assembly plant in 89 and 2001. UAW President Sean Fain credits a turnaround to the raises the unions extracted from Detroit automakers after a six-week strike last year. He's hoping another win in a May 13th election at a Mercedes-Benz plant in Alabama. President Biden never misses a chance to jump in front of a union parade, and he took credit for the victory in a statement on Saturday night. He's counting on unions to spend millions and turn out voters in November. I was proud to stand alongside auto workers in their successful fight for record contracts, he said, as if his appearance on the picket line in Michigan last year made the difference. He did not acknowledge the real source of muscle his administration uses to tilt the scales. Understand that your taxpayer dollars now are going to subsidize union wages.
Right.
Private union, not public union wages, government workers, private union wages.
Mm-hmm.
He did not acknowledge a real source of his muscle is his administration's uses to tilt the scale since the Inflation Reduction Act passed in 2022 with its tens of billions of dollars in electric vehicle subsidies. Democrats have used funding to persuade automakers to welcome unions. Sometimes the pressure is explicit, as when the Energy Department offered $12 billion in additional subsidies to retool plants using union labor. It also comes via threats, as when 33 senators sent a letter suggesting the car makers that opposed unions would lose access to federal support. VW produces the ID4 electric SUV in Chattanooga, and it got the message. The company mounted significantly less opposition to the UAW than it did in 2019, declining to inform employees about the potential cost of unionizing. In a statement Friday, it thanked workers for voting and suggested it will not appeal the National Labor Relations or to the National Labor Relations Board. If subsidies help VW offset the cost of paying higher union wages, there's less reason to oppose the UAW. Taxpayers, not the company, will foot much of the bill for more expensive production. Less labor is required to produce an EV than a gas-powered vehicle, but Mr. Fain is calling on his political friends to coerce the companies to shed fewer workers. The union withheld its endorsement until President Biden assured its leaders that the EV transition would inflict minimal damage on union interest. He can't guarantee that.
No.
It's a lot easier to organize workers when the full political weight of the federal government is on the union side and the taxpayer is paying the freight for the private sector and the private sector unions. Workers are free to join unions. We hope they won't come to regret it. Volkswagen let the UAW organize its plant in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, in the 1970s. The company shut it down a decade later when costs were not competitive. And we talked about this with the last deal. We said this is what's happening in the UAW. They're saying the taxpayer needs to subsidize the worker.
Yeah, getting closer and closer to becoming basically a public union, or at least a publicly funded union. That's what you're edging toward. And the idea is, again, either there's demand there or not. There's the demand that warrants the everything, the pay, and all of it in terms of passing that price on to the consumer, or the demand isn't there.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at Motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And it's important to go through it again. Understand what's going on here. All right. The federal government has mandated to companies, you know, through exhaust, you know, mandates, that they have to build EVs. Companies would not be building EVs. There probably would not be one manufacturing line for EVs in the United States if it wasn't subsidized by the federal government.
Right.
And so the companies, they can't make money on the EVs. And therefore, you've got a lot of companies that, you know, if that a lot of companies out there that aren't union, that the threat of you do this, we're no longer competitive. We can't make money on these EVs. What does the federal government and the Democrats do? They come up with tens, hundreds of billions of dollars to say, if you produce the EVs, we will give you a ton of taxpayer dollars, but then you need to take that taxpayer dollars and hire only union workers and be more inviting to unions to be in your company. And if you do that, the taxpayer will pay the freight for your company to hire union workers.
Right.
That's what's going on. To produce a product that still, with all the subsidies, cannot make a profit for these companies. That, and I don't believe I'm exaggerating any point there at all.
No.
If there's any point I'm not exaggerating. That's what Democrats believe make an economy. You create good union jobs through the taxpayer subsidizing a company that the government is saying you got to pay the union more money to produce a product that the public does not want, is too expensive, and can't make a profit. That's what Democrats believe is a successful economy. Does anybody actually buy that?
No, not figuratively or literally, because you see where the demand goes for EVs once all of a sudden it gets down to, all right, well, we've pushed it and pushed it and pushed it until all of a sudden it's, even with the subsidies, way too expensive. It's not feasible for the American public, by and large, to own EVs. We don't have the infrastructure for powering the EVs. But it doesn't matter. This whole delusional idea can carry on as long as we keep pouring money into it. Or at least we can get it to the point that it will get us through the next election. And that's where they are. And the workers at Volkswagen are going to find out a very harsh reality. Because what happened right after all of the union things were all done in the fall of last year? Well, in January, the F-150 Lightning, sorry, we're going to have to close down production on that. We're going to be laying some people off. What do you think's going to happen? You can't push. You can't create false demand. It's not there. And you also can't be purchasing and paying for the entire purchase price with taxpayer dollars. You can throw some money at it for some period of time, but even then we reach a threshold where it's just simply not feasible anymore, and the American people don't want to sit and bail out auto companies. And sorry, it's not a domestic, Volkswagen is not a domestic car maker. You're not going to get that kind of long-term support for supporting the taxpayers' dollars going to support this kind of ludicrous behavior. It's just, that's not in the cards for a long-term.
As you say, you can manipulate the economy, but you can't you can't manipulate economics.
No.
And that's what they're trying to do here, and it's not going to work. And I can see the auto workers are happy because they're going to get a raise maybe for a while, a year.
Oh, short term, it's going to be great.
You know, short term, it's great. But long term is where it's like, hey, we get some free dollars. Why not vote for it? The company doesn't seem against it. Well, the company isn't against it because the company doesn't see a long term future in EVs.
Right.
So if the government's going to throw cash at them to make their losses less.
Right.
And they can throw some, you know, they can throw money at the worker, because it's taxpayer dollars, it's not even their own, and lose fewer dollars than they're originally going to lose before because the Democrats wish to subsidize the private sector for products the public doesn't want and can't make a profit. they're like, well, what, we lose less.
Right.
It's a win-win.
Right.
Except for the taxpayer. Well, except for the taxpayer.
Except for the taxpayer. And long-term, the employees of that plant. Look, yeah. It's going to pair out the way it's going to pair out. You keep putting out mandates and mandates and mandates and mandates on emissions, and you're going to, and the idea ultimately really is to mandate cars out of existence altogether. We already know about the emissions, the tire emissions on EVs. That's already a thing with the activists. They're already on that and have been for quite some time. You know why? Because net zero is not zero. This is the whole approach. You know, it's, you know, we talked about and we're this story of what it would cost the economy, you know, to save the planet. What does it cost the global economy? Well, the answer is to the true environmental activists, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter because humans wouldn't be in existence. Therefore, the economy isn't even a point. It's like that stupid documentary they made of Life After Man. Nobody cares because unless you've got, you know, a den of lions that it now magically have cable television, they might. I'm not saying they don't. But unless they do, nobody watching it is going to have a direct interest.
I watched it that one time and I went, well, this is stupid. They're showing me that buildings decay. I know that, but I really don't care because
I don't care.
I'm not sad about that. That's the future of the decaying of the building. I'm sad that all humans are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's over. It's over.
Now, they didn't say how the humans were gone, though. They didn't.
Right.
They don't tell you.
No, they don't. They don't tell you. Well, and we can add to it. The environmentalism just decided that, well, sorry, all y'all are going to have to go. It's like Bill Burr. Oh. Bill Burr doing he did a stand-up bit one time. And he goes, look, if I were running for office, all right, listen, a number of y'all are just going to have to go. Now, hear me out. But this has been their approach for a long time. You've got to, well, first of all, we have the economy. We're going to have to, you know, the economy has to shrink. And they pointed this out. Those proponents have been proposing this. And by the way, this is the thing. You know, we always talk about, well, Congress should vote to give themselves a pay cut. You know, it doesn't work that way, right? You say it out loud enough. Go say it. I don't know if it helps you. Say it to a mirror.
Well,
okay. And now we have to, you know, we're looking at it going, environmentalists are going, listen, some of us are going to have to go. Okay, is that starting with you? Well, no, it's not.
Well, what I love is you've probably seen it. I haven't seen it well on social media, but it's like, the solution is so simple. Why can't people see it? If Congress just votes this way and this way and that way and this way and this way and that way and this way, then all of our problems are solved.
Right, yeah, right.
It's like,
yeah. You know who's going to vote for
But they won't.
Yeah. You know who's going to vote for a pay cut? In Congress? Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
Well, people who aren't running again.
All Congress has to do is just cut across the board 30%, and then Everything's taken care of.
That's right, yeah.
Why can't they do that?
Right. You don't get it. Say it out loud a few times, and maybe it will sink in.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howell's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Ah, you are due a tax refund. Your reaction?
Wow!
I want that money. Yes, and after you get the money, do you react like I do?
I want everything I've ever seen in the movies!
Yes.
I think a lot of people are easily tempted, myself included, to sort of do some fun spending out of that refund check.
Ohio State University Extension consumer policy expert Lauren Jones says we know we shouldn't blow that refund on trifles, but, you know, once you've got the money, it's too much of a temptation. So she says if you haven't filed it yet...
There's a form that you can fill out to pre-direct your refund into different accounts. Tax form 8888, a form that you can submit along with your taxes that will allow you to split your refund among several different accounts. or you can use it to buy savings bonds with some of your refund. You can direct some of your refund directly into your IRA.
So instead of buying
everything I've ever seen in the movies,
keep a little of that refund to go to the movies. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. What insanity we saw at Columbia late last week and over the weekend. You had that Orthodox rabbi who serves the Jewish community at Columbia University send a message to Jewish students this weekend urging them to leave campus for their own safety in the midst of the pro-terror, pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Now, understand, we've been saying pro-terror. We get a little bit of feedback. You know, they're not pro-terror. And it's like, there they are. Go Hamas.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pro-Hamas. That's pro-terrorists.
Yeah.
The rabbi told students that the university and city police forces could not protect them anymore and that Jewish students should return home as soon as possible and remain home until the reality in and around campus has dramatically improved. This racism, this anti-Semitism, this pro-terror that comes directly from liberalism and has been supported by a significant portion of the Democratic Party has to stop.
Well, and, you know, it's in that memo, you know, you need to basically go home, leave the campus, go home until the situation is dramatically improved. And when I read that, I thought, well, I don't know when that would be. When is it that the far left has abandoned a cause? When do you expect?
Well, feminism,
rabbi,
feminism very quickly.
Yeah, well, that's it. There's one after 40 years.
Yeah.
When would this turn around? When would it be safe for them to go back?
Soon, they'll be going into a deep dive. Make time. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Cronin, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just reading this here from Breitbart. Bill Maher, this year's DNC will be a repeat of 1968, except this time with pro-Hamas protesters.
Well, thanks for listening, Bill.
Thank you. We've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, that's that's clear, and it won't be the typical protester, you know, with the picket sign and everything else. It will be the people that are up there on stage and on the floor of the convention. It's now embedded, ingrained. It's part of the Democratic Party. It's not all of the Democratic Party, but it's the loudest part of the Democratic Party, and it will lead. And I don't know. There's the question. You know, the liberal media has this conundrum on how to approach this whole thing, you know, as they often do, and how to cover it. And that's, too, where the radicals will be separated from all of the others. The radicals in the liberal media will be separated from all of the others on how they phrase things during that coverage. I am so curious. I'm so curious as to how all of that is going to go down. But there is no doubt that it's going to be chaotic. They keep in mind the pro-Hamas group is screaming already in Chicago, don't let the Democrats have their convention here. They're not fans of Joe Biden. They're not fans, I don't know, are they fans of the party anymore at all? I mean, they have people within the party. There's the other conundrum. The prominent members within the party that side with these radicals, but then avoid the media's questions when they ask them about it and run from the cameras. You can't do that at a convention.
You know, I will agree with you that not all the Democratic Party supports the anti-Semitism. A growing number do, but the White House does.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the White House did put out a statement because they've been trying to ride the fine line, trying to figure out where the public's going on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, the president said a couple of weeks ago, the indiscriminate attacks, when he started attacking Israel for what they're doing, there was no indiscriminate attacks.
No.
Have mistakes been made? Yeah. Have civilians been killed? Absolutely, which is going to happen in a situation like this, where you have urban warfare going on. And so it's going to happen without question. But it's to, again, do the moral equivalency. And that's what the left is trying to do, including the president. And the president was not criticized severely because silence is violence, right? Does that go both ways? The president hasn't been severely criticized by lead Democrats for the things that he has done, which have been purely anti-Semitic.
Right.
And now, but the president came out yesterday. They realized they couldn't win what was going on at the Columbia campus. So they actually came out, and I was reading, it's the first time that the White House has come out and condemned the anti-Semitism without saying, we must stop the anti-Semitism and all other forms of hate. They just focused on the anti-Semitism. It was the first time they didn't attempt to be inclusive for all hate.
Right.
And so that was an indication that the White House is feeling the pressure. But remember, the majority of the White House, the staff there, is for a ceasefire. They were for a ceasefire early on. If you're for a ceasefire, you're pro-terrorist.
Yeah.
After what happened in Israel, the ceasefire is the code language for we stand by you, we're anti-Semitic, we're just trying to do it on what might be more palatable for other people in our party to say ceasefire, 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 or the stupid two-state solution. I saw that a number of conservatives and religious leaders got together here in the last couple of days to denounce the two-state solution,
right,
which is hilarious because Biden's up there going, we need a two-state solution. What are you talking about? Neither side wants it.
Right.
Neither side's going to agree to a two-state solution.
Right.
And if you got Hamas to agree to a two-state solution, that's just to stop Israel from doing what they're doing, and then the terrorist attacks would continue.
Right. Yeah, when the whole ceasefire thing is to basically say that Israel should just sit there and take it. They should accept what happened to them on October 7th, which is ludicrous.
Nope. And you said it from day one. There is no middle ground here.
Nope.
There is no gray area.
No, there isn't.
You're either with a Western democracy who is our ally, and I'm talking about their form of government under the umbrella of democracy for all the democracy nitpickers out there. It's under the umbrella of democracy. I'm not calling them a direct democracy. When I qualify, I don't get any emails anymore.
No?
No.
You want me to send you one?
Okay, if you want.
All right.
If
it'll make you feel better.
but I side with Western democracies over proven terrorist organizations. End of story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't go into, there's no negotiation at that point.
Nope. You know? Nope.
All right. The polling out there. Now, the NBC poll got a lot of news. And I think some of it is indicative of what's going on. If you actually look at, Trump, on the actual issues, inflation and things like that, you see that Trump is leading almost across the board on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see? I think Trump leads on abortion now.
Hmm.
I think one of the polls showed him like 47, 46 leading when he was behind in January.
Right.
The two-way has Trump 46, Biden. This is, before, let me qualify this here. This is the reason we have problems with this poll. The NBC poll on the issue shows Trump in the lead where he should be in the lead. You know, all those things.
Right.
And pretty big leagues, too. Pretty big leads. Not as big as some other polls, but still significantly larger on all the major issues, which in a normal time would win him the election.
Right.
You could sit there and go, in normal times, that'll win him. That candidate's got it. There's no way. Inflation is too great. The border, all this stuff. It affects people. Domestic policy is what changes elections normally. And so it shows a big Trump win. In a normal election, that's what you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
In this election, who knows? But what makes us wonder about this is where the poll says in a two-way, Trump wins 46-44 over Biden. In a five-way with Biden, Trump, Kennedy, West, and Stein, Biden wins by 2 points, 39-37. Kennedy has 13 when most polls showed last week. He was down below 5%.
Right.
And most of me was like 2, 3%.
Right.
At that point, it shows Cornell West with 3 and Jill Stein with 2. So all those together take up 18 points. We don't buy that.
Well, you're closing in on one in every 5 not voting for Democrat or Republican. Look, we get the sentiment of throw the bums out or I don't like either party or blah, 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 blah. But 13% for RFK Jr. and then a total of 5 for the other 2. Sorry, you can't convince me we're at that point. And if you show some move, if there's any movement, you know, between now and November, and that's what you and I look at in the polls, not just from one pollster, but if we see movement like we did starting in February where Trump started to surge and it was in different polls. And we looked at the movement. If you start to see some movement there, then we'll make note of that. Do I believe RFK Jr. is going to get 13% of the votes? No, I don't.
Well, here's the problem that I have with it. If you break down the number, I mean, Biden 39, Trump 37, Kennedy 13, West 3, and Stein 2. West and Stein, those 5 points can only be taken from Biden.
Right.
Nobody who's voting for Trump is going to change. Nobody who's considering Trump is going to vote for West or Stein if they're in. You know, if they're in there, if you change it, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So those 5 come directly from Biden. Right.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, if you look at it, almost all the Kennedy votes subtract from Trump.
Right.
That's not possible. Because it's basically been, if you, and I think you will agree with this, I'm doing a rough estimate here. If there were 13% of the people that wanted Kennedy, you would basically get 7 or 8 of those would come from Biden and 5 or 6 would come from Trump.
Yeah.
Right. That's been basically what I've seen.
Hmm.
But that would show, because, again, I'll say it again, you're West and Stein, pulling 5 votes, all those come from Biden.
Yeah.
They all come from Biden.
Right.
So then it means the vast majority of Kennedy voters in this poll are taken from Trump. I don't buy it. Don't buy it. Not in a million years.
No. No. And no, so, I don't. Look, there are going to be, as with every election cycle, you've got your undecideds. You and I kind of still are boggled by how, even when we get much closer to the election, some people are still undecided, but it does happen. And then all of a sudden, well, at least they tell pollsters they're undecided. And then all of a sudden they show up on election day and we look back and go, okay, here's how it panned out. When you factor in everything here, show me where a massive surge for RFK Jr. would be. That would be, compared to the other recent polls, a 8-9 point jump. you know, if you look between 13% and then being below 5%. So show me what that surge would be. What issue, what news event, what did people learn that all of a sudden he's at 13%?
And all we learned was that, you know, really in the last month is his extremely far left vice presidential pick.
Right. That which, the liberals were freaking out about.
Right. Because they believe that will help take from Biden.
Right. Exactly.
And all of a sudden, the vast majority of Kennedy voters, if you look at this poll logically from NBC, would come from Trump. I don't buy it.
No.
I just don't buy it.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Look, can things change? Trump didn't, if you think about it, Trump coming in had, it wasn't about momentum. It was a base that was already built in coming into the primary season for the GOP. Trump didn't have a surge. It was already there. That's why he didn't feel a need to do any debates during the primary season. He didn't need to. There was no one that was ever consistently a threat against him in the primary field. So then you look at, all right, since February, where he started to gain ground on Biden. And what is it? Well, the reality as the election gets closer and closer, the reality on all the fronts on the major issues, and that is the broken border that Biden caused, the inflation that Biden and his party caused, and all of these geopolitical situations that are on the table that no one trusts him with. All of this spells political disaster. How it's going to pan out, you and I don't make predictions, but trying to convince me that RFK Jr. all of a sudden is at 13%? Sorry.
And the vast majority pulling from Trump?
Exactly.
Don't buy it.
No.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. On that poll, though, that again we doubt its methodology because of Trump winning. If it was head to head, and then Trump losing, if you had, well, three of the liberals in there,
all right?
Kennedy, Stein, and
Cornel West. Yeah,
I mean, it's like there's no way that Robert Kennedy Jr.'s taking the majority of the votes from Trump.
Nope.
That's just not happening. But on inflation and the economy, 52% of that NBC poll said Trump would better handle inflation and the cost of living. 30% said the same for Biden. In any other election, if that's what it was, and it's greater in some other polls, but if that was accurate, in any other election, Trump wins in a landslide.
Yeah. Right. No doubt.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.